All right, so I would ask you this evening, if you would, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. And I had the privilege of unexpectedly being able to preach for you last Sunday night. I was also in the book of 1 Peter. Did not pick that out, but God led me back to a scripture that I think will be a blessing for you. We're going to read the last few verses in the book of 1 Peter. And if you have that, would you stand this evening, just in reverence to God's Word? We're going to read a few verses here and then get into this evening's message. So Peter, as he says in verse 1 of the first chapter, writing to the strangers that are scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Asia and different locations, we're actually going to begin in the 18th verse, and we're going to talk about some precious things that endure forever. So beginning in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Forasmuch as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received from tradition by your fathers, but we are redeemed," in verse 19, "with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." In verse 22, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit into unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again," in verse 23, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, and by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. And for the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." And in verse 25, we get our thought, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Shall we pray? Lord, I do thank you for the privilege to be here again this evening. Lord, you've ordained this, and you have put this message in my heart, Lord, that I might bring it forward to this congregation. I pray, Lord, that it will be an encouragement. I just appreciate Brother Gary's testimony, his witness there. These are dark days. But, Lord, we know where to look, and I thank you for this scripture that just brings such focus to the things that matter to the child of God. Lord, be with the reading of your word. Be with the preaching this evening. We thank you for the beautiful singing, for the beautiful music. Lord, all the gifts that are given. Lord, meet with us here in this service, we pray tonight. Amen. And you might be seated. And I want to bring a simple message this evening on the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, you look at that, and we think about that word endureth, and it means something that would last, something that would stand, something that is indestructible, as it were. And we live in a world around us today which is very transient. You know, everything is always changing, and, you know, you have somebody else that comes to the forefront as a leader, and they want to promote this thing and what have you. But I'm glad that as a child of God, we can look into his word, and we can look back, Brother Gary, to the beginning of the world. Before there was an earth, before there was light and dark and what have you, we know that God existed in his three persons. He created everything that's ever been created. People say, "How can you explain that?" I can't tell you how an automatic transmission works. Why would I know how to explain the beginning of the universe? But I can tell you that through the spoken word of God, he created everything that is, and I can believe and have faith on that. Why? Because I feel him, Brother Ralph. He lives inside my soul. I can take you back to the day where I was a born-again Christian. People say, "Do we still use that term?" Absolutely, and we will never abandon the term of a life that has been changed because of the redemptive work of God himself. And I can take you back to that time when I went from being a sinner to being saved by grace. I can take you to the place. I can tell you about the circumstances. I can tell you that I've never for one day been perfect since that day. But I can tell you that the soul is saved and I'm on my way to heaven. And I don't care what the condition of the earth is and the political systems and who's disappointed and who's happy, that we can depend as a child of God upon his word, which endures forever. The world will change, but the word will not change. So we began to look at this, and Peter was writing to a people that he calls scattered. They were scattered. What does that mean? It means that, you know, there was a pocket here and a pocket there and some over here, and maybe life wasn't real easy for them. But Peter said, I want to encourage you in the Word. Now, this has been an interesting week for us. And I've often told you, I don't do politics. I talk about Jesus. That's my calling. And he's a whole lot more fun and a lot more stable. But, you know, we ended up, and this one was unhappy, and this one was, hey, it's been like that since the beginning of the earth, that there'll always be this. But I'm going to tell you this, church, and I say this very boldly, every government we have upon the face of this earth today is in transition. One day, there will be a man that comes to the forefront. He will be the Antichrist, and he will destroy everything that was ever considered good on the face of this earth. Now, how do I know that? It's written in God's Word that endures. So we are going to go through, as you said, Brother Gary, some difficult days. I look around the church. I see pockets where people should be, and we know their circumstances. I came in this evening, and we got here early. There was a car in the parking lot, and I said, man, look at that. I know whose truck that is. I hope I can catch up with them because they're just going through a rough time. Get a chance to say hello to them. Dark days don't last forever, but the Word of God and His promises absolutely do. And Peter began to walk the people that were scattered through this. And the first thing that he points out is something that we've got to remember. Peter talks about the fact to the church. He says, listen, you've got to remember that you're not saved and you're not a child of God because of the great things you've done. It's important to do good things. We ought to look after each other, and we ought to assemble ourselves, right? Amen. And we ought to be faithful to church, and we ought to, you know, answer the calling that God has called us to. But the fact of the matter is, if you are a child of God, it is entirely based upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God. Amen. He died upon the cross of Calvary that we might have forgiveness of our sins. And I realize that in the world around us today, we have all of this, sometimes this complexity. But isn't it amazing? And I see Claire, and I see Landon running around, and you know, I see little Macy Ann, and see the little. Isn't it amazing that God Himself described the plan of salvation as so simple that a child could understand it? Don't we complicate it sometimes? But let me tell you what the need is. I was underwater going down for the last time when God rescued me and pulled me out. And if you have a testimony of being saved, yours is not going to be that much different from mine. There was a day when the Holy Spirit came to your life and revealed that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and it was that precious blood of the Lamb of God that washed away the sins that we should have suffered and died for. This precious blood that was pure, that was sinless, that was sacred, that was offered so generously from the cross of Calvary. And we look at the world around us today, and, you know, I mean, I know we have so many people who want to talk about religion. Religion will pass away, but the Son of God will be forever. And there will never, ever, ever be another way to have redemption with God outside of what Jesus did for us upon the cross of Calvary. It was foreordained. It was appointed to Him, and He died for the sins of the world once upon that cross. And when He rose that third and glorious day from that tomb under His own power in that resurrection, He's never going to go back again. You think about that. There'll never be another wound. He'll never suffer another insult in heaven. And Jesus just is absolutely the center of everything that has been done for us. I know that we're heading into this season of Christmas and Thanksgiving. We're not going to skip Thanksgiving, and then we're headed on to the season of Christmas. And we've been studying and we've been looking at the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming. And isn't it amazing? You know, we talk about the babe that was born in a manger. But Brother Gary, He was the Son of God. He was the Lamb of God. Where else would you expect a beautiful, spotless lamb to be born other than, you know, in the area where the manger was? Very unglamorous as it was. But God, from the very incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, sent Him as the sacrifice that through Him we might have something that was never obtained before. I know that we can look at things and people say, well, maybe I'll get in church, you know, maybe I do this. There is no other way that we might be saved outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter writes here when he talks in verse 19. He said, but the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish or spot, without blemish and without spot. And I'm so glad that precious blood, we sing that song here sometimes, I'm so glad that that precious blood washes away our sin. The second thing that we see in the scripture as Peter was writing to the folks is we see in verse 21, he says, who by Jesus do believe in God, that he raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Let me ask you a question. What is it that you absolutely believe in that is absolutely unshakable? Most of us, I would think, in this congregation today would say the Word of God, the Son of God. But you know what's unfortunate, Miss Shelby? Most of the world isn't like that. 7 billion people, whatever it is, approaching 8 here upon the face of the earth. And truthfully, the vast majority of people, they may know the name of Jesus. They may know the story of the cross. They may know the story of Christmas or the story of Easter. But most people, they really don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen there. These are the people that you work with. These are the people that you interact with in the grocery store. These are your coworkers. This is your family. This is my family. And yet the Bible tells us that God, in the greatest ability that ever was possible, created the greatest miracle that was ever witnessed upon the earth. And we think about the history of miracles, the Red Sea, the wall of fire that, you know, prevented the Egyptian army from overtaking the children of Israel. We think about the building of the ark and the flooding of the world with water. You think about Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, right? You think about these great, great miracles. But there's not one of them that even gets close to the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What man under his own power could get up from a borrowed grave except for the Son of God? And why did God do that? That we might have an understanding that he has power, yes, over death. He has power over life, yes. And upon that third morning, when the disciples ran and when the women ran and they came and they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance of that tomb, I'm telling you, church, it gave you reason to believe that the same God who said, I can take away the sins of the world and went to the cross of Calvary, can tell you today, I can be Lord and Master over your life. I can bring you joy, when Paul and Silas were in the prison and they sang songs. I can help you to have joy in the most miserable of circumstances. I can put that in your heart. And today we have reason to believe in the Son of God, in his resurrection power. And we have reason to share that word with others. You'll forgive me. I have become biased unintentionally. But, you know, I love some of the things that we have found a way to do to minister to people. You know, it's just amazing, Miss Jennifer, that God has just opened doors for us to go out and things where you think, well, you know, hey, that would be such an awkward way to spread the gospel or talk with somebody. God has just created ways that we can tell people about the resurrected Savior. And we ought to have that desire in our heart, right? Why is it that most of us don't witness to people? I know we want to, right? Anybody here not want to witness to anybody? No, I didn't think any hands would go up. We all want to share the good word of God. But isn't it like Satan gets in our heart? Well, you know, if you tell anybody this, Debbie, I mean, you know, they're not going to believe you anyways, right? I mean, that's Satan speaking to you, trying to discourage you. You know, Cindy, you wouldn't want to do that. You know, hey, you put your head down, say your prayer, say a blessing over your food. Somebody's going to see that. That could be awkward, right? And yet God has called us to be the voice, to be the hands, to be the feet, to carry that gospel message forward. And he has given us the demonstration of the resurrection that we might point back to. He wasn't just a man. Jesus wasn't just a man. It wasn't just that he was a great philosopher and he was good with words. Yeah, all those things. But he was the Son of God. And he got up from a grave that no one else ever has before or ever has since. And we can take such comfort in knowing what a Savior that we have. The third thing that we see in the Word of God is in verse 22. And I love this. This gets back to the new birth, our testimony. In verse 22, Peter wrote this. He said, "Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit into the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Look at verse 23. "Being born again, and not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, and by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So people look at this phrase, you know, born again, and, you know, they're like, well, isn't that kind of an 80s kind of thing, you know? Did we kind of, you know, have a new term for that? And the answer is absolutely not. When this word was given to Peter some roughly 2,000 years ago, let it be settled, let it endure forever. I am a born-again Christian. What does that mean? It means spiritually there was a day when Steve was completely transformed. On that day when I came to Christ, when he came and the Holy Spirit came and witnessed to me, and I saw my need and in just the simplest of ways that I could possibly cry out and ask God to save my soul, redeem me, to give me eternal life, to give me peace. I didn't really have any, theological experience or what have you. I just asked God to save my soul. And I can tell you that without any hesitation whatsoever, he moved in, Brother Ralph, and the old guy got pushed out. Now, the problem is we still have two natures, right? We still have a carnal nature, and we have a spiritual nature. And it's kind of funny. We sat at a lunch yesterday, and there was a lady, and she was talking about someone that she knew, and they had a guest that came in from India, and they were here for a couple of months and what have you. And they said that finally, one day, the guy said, "Hey, listen, I know you're from India. We've got some stuff here. Maybe you don't have in that country. Let me take you to Krispy Kreme." And she said they took, you know, Dr. So-and-so from India to Krispy Kreme, and he took one bite and said, "Why have you not taken me here before?" He liked the way it tasted. Well, I'm going to tell you, in the flesh, the things that probably taste good and what have you that we like before we get saved, they may taste good after we get saved, so that could be a problem. We have this thing of daily sanctification, this journey that we're on to become, you know, the version of Steve that God wants me to be. And I have better days, I have worse days, just like each of you, right? But I'm going to tell you, Mary, the day I got saved, it was head to toe. Jesus immersed me in the power of his forgiveness, and I don't ever have to look back and say, "Did you change your mind?" When he died upon the cross of Calvary and he said, "It is finished," he said the work and the plan of God that was foreordained before the beginning of the world, the plan that came into place as Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, the plan that was needed, you know, the plan that overtook the covenant that was with Abraham, and the plan that Moses had for the offering of sins of animals for transgressions, all that was complete. And Jesus said, "I have done it. And with my own blood, I have finished the work that God had in mind." And my life was completely saved upon that day, just as yours should be. And when we talk about this idea of the testimony of being born again, Paul wrote, "Seeing that you have purified your souls in the obeying of truth." And I love this idea of truth. By the way, quite frankly, we live in a world today that is not very truthful. Somebody say amen. You know, say what you want and to get what you want. And it's amazing, Brother Gary, the work I've done with the different ministries. People will call you on your cell phone and they will tell you things to try to get you to do exactly, you know, what it is that they want you to do. It's almost like a game, Jennifer. And we had a situation, and I won't go into the details, for appropriateness, but we had a situation, and somebody called me, it's probably a year or so ago, and I tried to help in a certain way, and they said, "Yeah, you know, we'd also talk to this pastor." I called that pastor. He said, "Yeah," and they also called. There were like 7 churches that they had called, trying to get someone to do exactly what they wanted to do. Not very truthful. And I know that we get jaded by that, right? I mean, you don't want to be taken advantage of, and we don't like that. But what Peter's talking about here transcends somebody getting you to do some odd task or bring them something or whatever. He's talking about the truth that changes lives. He's talking about the idea and the need for doctrine. We don't hear a lot of doctrine anymore. And I think that's, quite frankly, I think that's a real problem. Why? We talked with someone recently, and it was someone that Cindy had known, and she was listening to an interview, actually, and Cindy was talking with me about it. And she said that this person had a very, very successful ministry. And he began to talk about why. It's because of their training in discipleship, starting with little ones. Now, we're not talking about making robots or anything like that, but we're talking about teaching them the Word of God. What does it mean, you know, Brother Gary, what does it mean to be a man, to be a woman, to be called into a certain ministry, to fulfill that calling? What does it mean to God's expectations that we give of our time as well as of our money, of our talent, right? Do we hear all of that always taught? We don't hear it in the world around us today. And listen, I love the message, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That is great, and it might bring you to the altar and bring you to a point of redemption, but we're not called to stop at kindergarten. We're expected to go on in our understanding of the Word of God and become mature Christians, right? We got to get off of the milk, get off of the toast. And that's what Peter is talking about, I think, when he says, you know, just purifying our souls and obeying the truth, understanding what that is, and demonstrating that in the world around us today. We see it in doctrine. We see it in the assembling of ourselves together. We see it in answering the calling that God has called us to. So we had our revival last week, and we helped lead that, and I'll leave the important details out. But on Monday night, our first guest preacher came in, Brother Junior, and he caught me. And I know him. I'm a wonderful preacher, wonderful pastor. And I know him just loosely, but he caught me at the door, and he said, you know, I'm a little upset. I've just gotten word. And he told me the story about a missionary that he knew. And I think he was 30 years old, more or less, had a couple of small children, his wife. In a foreign country, this was last week that he was hunted down and stalked and was killed, Miss Eve, in front of his very family that he might have the Word of God. And the girls and the wife are back home, and that is good to know. We say that people still aren't oppressed because of the Word of God. They are. And I tell you what, some of the reason that sometimes people aren't picking on us is because we're really not doing that much for him. But when the Word gets into us and that truth begins to flow, it begins to change our lives. Amen? Begins to change our interest. So what is the truth of God? Well, we go on down through here in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Peter takes time, and he would have known this very well, in verse 24, to talk about the uncertainties of life and the vanity in some areas of life. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. In other words, it's not going to last. It's very temporary. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But look at verse 25. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. This missionary who was martyred in front of his family on a foreign field, he's gone on to his reward in heaven. He'll never have any shame over what he did for God. We are the body of Christ. Say amen. We are. There's not a plan B. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and he died for us. He died for you, and for you, and for you, and for you, and for me, that we might carry forth his word into the world around us today. I love the name of this church, and I realize, you know, it's like, well, a few of you did name it, actually. You know, there's a few people here who helped name this church, Bible Way. And, you know, you could have called it anything. You could have called it, you know, Packing House Road Baptist or whatever. You got the doctrine in there. That's important. But you called it Bible Way. Why? Sitting in my kitchen, unfortunately, they've been there for a couple of months now. I think Cindy wants them gone. Are two cases of Spanish Bibles. And Miss Eve, when we go to these foreign countries, and you know, and y'all have been there, missionaries, I mean, they just love the Word of God. And they don't have it, Brother Rick. They don't have Bibles. We went to Honduras in March, and some of these men will be joining us to carry the gospel message up a mountain into into the mountains of Belize. And by the way, no pressure, Michael, but you know, I got my back hurt. I'm going to need you to carry a little more in your pack so I can carry less in mine. Just saying. You don't have to carry me, though, I hope. But when we were in Honduras, we went in these classrooms, and I've got a picture of this. On one wall in one classroom, hanging by a thumbtack, was a little card about that big that had John 3:16 on it. Missy, that's all they had. You know, I mean, the word that they had, they listened to the preacher, right? They memorized scripture. And certainly some people within the church, teachers and what have you, they had a Bible. And they would get up during the service, and their services were quite lengthy. You need to cut Brother Vinoy some real slack. I mean, 2 hours was no problem at all for a service. But they would read a lot of scripture doing that. And you realize why, Brother Gary, because, you know, they didn't have Bibles. Listen, most of us, we have Bibles, and I've got an old broken one I've carried forever. I'm showing this Shelby. Wore the covers off of it. Thank you, Lord. Why do I carry it, Brother Ralph? Because I got notes in it. And the notes go back to, you know, when many of your children were here and were in youth group, you know, things that happened to them I kept through the years. The Word of God is precious. The Word of God is worth fighting for. The Word of God is worth understanding. Amen? The Word of God is worth memorizing. We have had such an assault on the Word of God. And I think it's amazing now that if you look at mainstream media and you look at the things that go on in the world, Brother Gary, they don't even reference the Bible. They've moved on beyond that. Yeah? They don't even pick on the Bible. You know, they're kind of like, you know, that we leapfrog that. But to us, the children of God, saved by that precious blood, right? Standing in the power of the resurrection, talking about the coming again of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God is the power and the foundation and the cornerstone of everything that God intended for us to have after His precious Son, Jesus, ascended up into heaven. We talk about the power of the Word of God. It is Jesus. And one day we're going to be in His very presence if we know Him as our Savior. Shouldn't we spend some time down here on earth sharing it with others, right? Getting into people's hands, writing it. You know, what was the psalmist David said? Lord, let me hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I know that's old school, but you know what? It still works because it still works. And a lot of times it's the only thing that works. So Peter looked out to these people that were scattered abroad. But the word of the Lord, it endureth. It remains. It's firm. It lasts. It doesn't yield. It endures. How long? Forever. And this is the word by the gospel which is preached unto you. I don't know what my future looks like. And by the way, you don't know what your future looks like either. But I tell you what, I love this word. I do, Brother Ralph. And you forgive me, I shared this last week, but you know, the auto accident I had, I didn't hear, there was no skidding, you know, there wasn't a big, you know, I looked around, there wasn't anything like that. It was just instantaneous. And the folks called me this week, and they started through that process, and I'm being, you know, very appropriate, very careful in my comments. And what I didn't realize, Brother Gary, is there was a dash cam. And they said, you know, we're looking at you get hit on the dash cam. And, you know, and they were talking about what that looked like. Why did I say this? I mean, I'm blessed. I'm working through this process. But I didn't have time, Brother Rick, to say another prayer. I didn't have time to say, you know, Lord, you know, let me go back over the last 24 hours, which would have took me a while anyways, right, to say, okay, here's what I should have done, here's what I didn't do. It was just bang. And I could have just as easily been taken out. Doesn't bother me, Miss Jennifer. I told Cindy that God has left me here for another day that I might serve, and he has left you here for another day that you might serve. I look around this room, people who have had heart surgery, people who have had COVID and been incredibly sick, people who have had transplants in this room, people, I'm thinking about the miracle Matt, you know, who was down, and God raised him back up, right? I mean, that's a miracle. Why do you think he does that? So that we can continue to do the things that he's called us to do. We sing this song and we say this verse, you know, my life is not my own. And it's so easy to get lost in it. It's kind of romantic. But there's a truth in that, in obeying the truth of God, that he is all and I'm nothing. And he must increase, I must decrease. And Peter looked around, and he was of age at this point, and he looked around at those folks that were around him. And he said, look, the world's going to change. And you imagine how it has changed in some 2,000 years. But he said, the foundation doesn't change. What does the old saw say? This rock doesn't roll. This foundation has no cracks in it. And I'm thankful today with a hand raised towards heaven that if I don't make it home today, I know where my eternal home is, not because of me, but because of what he did. And you are my friends, and you are my family, and it has been my great, great, great pleasure to be a part of your life for this many years. Vice versa, Brother Gary, we're good friends. To see what God does in his amazing power in your life. He's so good to us, folks, and that is absolutely for sure. Miss Laura and Brother Ralph, would you come and maybe prepare a congregational that we can sing? Every head bowed, every eye closed this evening. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. And Lord, I didn't mean to go back to 1 Peter. This is where you led me to. And Lord, this message I know was intended for someone that's here today. Perhaps, Lord, someone that's struggling with their faith. Perhaps someone, Lord, that they're going to run into somebody tomorrow when they're seated at a table at lunch or while they're waiting on their car to be serviced or, Lord, in a hospital room, who knows. But that, Lord, they'll be able to just draw from this message that you have prepared and sent to them about a Savior who loves, a Savior who changes lives, the new birth, the power of the Word of God. And I don't care how much the world around us tries to water down that power. They'll never make a dent in the chrome on what this great and powerful message is, Lord, that you love the world so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die for the sins of all of those who would gladly accept his free sacrifice. Lord, we just love you tonight. And I ask you, Lord, if you just have your hand upon everything that's said and done in the remainder of this service. Lord, these things we ask in your blessed name.